This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under Stewardship Resources or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on October 22, 2024 in West Manchester, Ohio.
Good morning. And I am committed to watch the clock. I will confess, though, that when I was in high school and had to do that three-minute book report, the teacher said you can have a 3x5 card, you can write whatever you want there, and I wrote on front and back in little tiny print. I was scared to death I couldn't talk for 3 minutes. And what I've found is, since then, and this was the case here too, this topic is so big you could make an entire seminar out of it. And I know all the topics are that way, but I am committed to watching the clock, and we want to move very rapidly. So be more than glad to share with you privately later if you have some questions. Want to speak first of all. I noticed looking over this crowd this morning that there are a lot of young people here. And that blesses my heart because, like was said, I've been in this business since I was 15. I've worked for the same company all my working life. And I really had a really good mentor in the owner of the business. He really was an extremely good mentor. But I never experienced a seminar like this. And I just want to bless you young people as you're here today to try to learn how can I do this well and how can I honor Christ in it. So let's begin. Okay, so my topic is Christ-like external business relationships. And my pointer is not working. There we go. Christ-like external business relationships. Because I'm the first speaker, I'm really, really quickly going to go through some principles that will probably apply everywhere in all of these relationships. First of all, Christ-like external business relationships, like all relationships, are really hinging on Christ-like communication. So I have some really quick comments here on Christ-like communication. Keep your word. I want to tell you that honesty and dependability and keeping your word in business today is at a premium. And I don't know if you've noticed, but since COVID, it's really taken a dive. Somehow, people just don't feel responsible to deliver on time and do all of those things. So I just want to say that in all business relationships, but especially in this topic with external relationships, keep your word. You make an agreement. Your due dates and all of those things that you're promising, keep your word. I'm going to tell you that makes you stand in the top 10% right off the bat. Be respectful. Words, tone of voice, and body language. I know you've probably heard this, but there was a study done that 55% of communication is nonverbal. 55% of your communication is in your body language, your facial expressions, and 38% is in what you're saying and that's more of your tone of voice, excuse me, but primarily it's in body language. How do you hold yourself? What does your facial expression look like? Then your tone of voice, and then last of all, 7% the actual words you say. That's sobering to me, because this is all about our interactions with other people in business relationships. Is it Christ-like? Treat people better than you want to be treated. Treat people better than you want to be treated. You know, we know the golden rule that we should treat others as we would like to be treated. That's the golden rule. Everybody knows the golden rule. Treat others as you would like to be treated. But I want to encourage you to treat people better than you would like to be treated. Just surprise them with being treated better than they expected. Exceed their expectations. Go the extra mile. Have integrity. Integrity is talking about soundness, solidness. Integrity is talking about who you really are. That's going to come out, and I'm going to today hope to expose myself a little in my failings in some of this, But where integrity is, you find in the difficult times. It's when you have a conflict. Don't flatter, don't fight. Don't flatter, don't fight. Have you ever had somebody just really building you up and you just know, it just, it's so uncomfortable because you know they're trying to obligate you to them? Don't flatter. Neither get into a conflict or be contentious. Don't be all the time, if you've had somebody come to you that is just contentious all the time, they're trying to obligate you by force. Don't use those things. Build, don't berate or belittle. Admit your faults and make them right. Admit your faults and make them right. Notice the smiley. Admit your faults and make them right with a smile. Those are just some basic principles that I think apply in all business relationships. Somehow I'm not sure why. There we go. Is that better? Okay, so on your handout, on your workbook, scratch in there that this is Christ-like relationships, external business relationships with your customer. Now, when Gary said this was my topic, I related to it immediately, but I want to tell you honestly, and we'll get to that in a little bit, that immediately my thought process, several different incidents hit my mind, and they were all places I had failed in this place. And it's like, oh my, he asked me to talk on this. And also, the second thought was, you know, the most important relationships we have in our company are actually our employees. And I'd like to talk on that, so I won't. Someone else will. But this is speaking now on our customers, our relationship with our customers. Serve well. We're servants. See yourself as a servant, as you're serving others. Oftentimes in business, we're thinking about, we have selfish motives. It's about, I want to build a company that is successful, it's financially successful, it meets the needs of my family, I have goals, I have visions for finance and for improvement. But when we have a focus on the fact that, yes, we're doing that, but we're doing it as a servant. So I want to encourage a servant heart. Quality and service are at a premium. Quality and service is what our company has to sell and to offer. Good quality and good service. I want to tell you first off, I'm a pilot, by the way, and pilots do a lot of time studying crash reports. So I'm going to give you a crash report. The reason we do that is because most accidents, fatal accidents, are pilot error. That's what causes most fatal accidents. And so I'm going to give you a crash report. We study those so that we don't make the same error. I had a customer, a good customer from Columbus. The man's name is Bill. Bill and I had done business for many, many years. We knew each other. We were having, we have a good relationship. And Bill ordered product about three pallets at a time. About three pallets at a time. He lived in Columbus. He worked in Columbus. His customer was in Lewisburg, Ohio. And so he would bring his, send his steak bed truck to our company to pick up his three finished products and take them to Lewisburg and then go back to Columbus. That's what Bill did. Bill's customer ordered two different sizes, and he had an influx, and so he ordered six pallets of both sizes on one order. Now, I'm not really in touch with all the orders coming in, and I didn't happen to see that until the order was finished. And I'm taking a little time here. This is a crash report, okay? So I looked at I walked across the dock and I saw 12 pallets sitting there ready for Bill to come and pick up, and I knew his steak bed truck hauls three. That's what I knew. And immediately I thought, well, we have a 24-foot box truck. I can take all 12 pallets to Lewisburg and I can save him a bunch of money and a bunch of time. Make sense? We're serving, right? So I called and said, hey, Bill, I noticed that you have 12 pallets ready for pickup. We could take those 12 pallets in one shot, and it would only cost you, and it was a small amount of money. I don't remember what it was. Good servant, right? Here's what happened. Bill blew up. And he just blew up on the phone, and he said, "What do you mean? You can get six on my truck, and you put it on the wrong size pallet." And he started blaming me, and it's like, "Man, I just called to help you." And he blew up. What do you do in the moment? This shows integrity. It showed my lack. What I did is what's typical in the carnal flesh of human hearts, is I returned evil for evil. And it's like, "Hey, Bill, I'm just trying to help you out. I mean, whatever. If you want to make four trips, it's okay with me." And I don't remember the whole conversation, but here's what happened. It escalated. And here's a business customer that we really value and we've built relationship with. And all of a sudden, there's conflict in this relationship. And I'm adding to it. I'm escalating it. I hung up frustrated. And then I looked at my wall in my office, there is our mission statement and our quality policy. And our mission statement is that our goal is to glorify God by providing engineered packaging solutions to our customers with honesty, fairness, and integrity. And I looked at that, and that integrity word hit me like a ton of bricks. And so I said a quick prayer, I did a little repenting, I picked up the phone, I called Bill. And I said, "Bill, I just want to say I'm sorry for that interaction. I just read our mission statement, I quoted it to him. I said, I feel like I was honest, I feel like I was fair, but I really blew it on integrity." And you know what Bill said? His whole tone of voice changed. He said, yeah, I did too, I'm sorry." And we worked through that. And we're good friends today. My point in even taking the time to share this, I know I need to keep meeting, is learn from each other. Learn from each other. Share your mistakes. It's okay. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. But make them right, and make them right with a smile. Another thing that in with your customer, realize that what you have to offer, you've all heard this saying, I'm sure, you've got fast, cheap, and good, pick any two. I mean, you can get it fast and cheap, but it's no good. You can get it good and really fast, but it is not cheap. Or you can get it cheap, really good and less expensive, but it's not fast. You know that, right? What we build our company culture around is that we want to focus on with our customers so that they've learned to know who we are, that we're not about being cheap. We're not the cheapest people out there. We're not the least expensive is a better term probably in the financial world. But our goal is to give them good product on time in a reasonable amount of time. And so that's, again, is a thought about how we relate with our customers, is be known for your integrity and that you are not the least expensive, but you're going to give them good service. You can't be everything to everyone all the time. How many of you hear this from time to time from your customer? Your customer calls up and says, "Hey, I've got this really, really good customer, and they're really in trouble. And they need this. Could you do this for us?" And what it oftentimes means is that they really want they want you to force this product into your schedule really, really fast so that it get these people out of trouble so that we can all build relationship with this guy that's in trouble. That's okay. We do that a lot. Oftentimes. But don't allow yourself to be drawn into a place where you're going to compromise your word with other customers so that you can get this new account or help this guy out. Basically, what I'm saying is realize we can't be everything to everyone all the time. Respond promptly and fairly to issues and make your wrongs right. What I'm saying here by issues is quality issues. We're in production, so that's where one of the issues is if we have bad quality somehow got through our system and got to a customer, respond to that quickly and fairly, but do it quickly and make your wrongs right. Your customers learn to know that about you really quick. If you start making excuses and trying to just, when they've got a problem, we immediately, we have a process I won't go into, but we immediately want to address that in a fair way and make our wrongs right. Schedule breathing room. Give them bad news up front and then surprise them by completing earlier than expected. I think you all get that. Give them the bad news up front. Too often people are calling and they're really, man, our customer's going to be out. They got to do this. We oftentimes offer to send a partial. But give them the bad news up front. No, it's going to be 13 weeks and then deliver in 12. Give them the bad news up front and have breathing room in your schedule so that you can always keep your word. Things are going to happen. You know that. They're going to happen. Christ-like external business relationships with vendors. Customers and vendors are probably the two main relationships that we have external to our internal relationships inside our business. And so we want to talk about vendors next. Don't pressure vendors. Be a good customer. Do you like it when your customers call up and they say, your customer calls up and says, hey, your price is good, your delivery's good, we like your product, but you're about 10% high. And they're always putting pressure. We have some customers that do this regularly, and we don't like it, so don't do that to your vendors. Don't be always trying to beat your vendors up for a better price, a better delivery. Treat your vendors like you want to be treated. It's pretty simple, again. We have a vendor, we have a customer then, and this is on the vendor side because we are the vendor, but we want to be in relationship with our vendors like we want to be treated also. So we have a customer that calls up and it's regular. Every time we're too high, he needs 10%. There's two ways of handling that. One is you charge him 20% on the quote, and then you come down 10%, and then you make 10% for the trouble dealing with this guy. That's one way. But here's the better way. Here's the better way. What they really need is to know who you are. Just hold a healthy boundary and just say, well, yeah, we'd like to help you out, but, you know, really, this is our price. And they will soon learn you're not budging, and that's the end of the story. That's the best way. As we're dealing with people in relationships, treat them respectfully and be honest, be open, and just simply hold the line. But don't pressure. I'm on the customer side now. I'm bringing this back into the vendor. Don't treat your vendors like that. You don't like it. Don't be that bad customer. Make special requests the exception, not the rule. We also have a lot of customers who they're just all the time, every single time, well, that lead time, can you get your lead time down? And then they're badgering us continually, well, the customer's going to be out, you know, can you get it? And you know what happens a lot of times? I'm not kidding. This is so typical that they've got to have it, they got to have it, they're going to be out, and then we have to make shipping arrangements, and they don't give us the information we need for a week. I thought they were out. You know, they're not being honest. Don't treat your vendors like you don't like to be treated. And make special requests. They do come up. There are special requests, but make that the exception, not the rule. Give feedback when things go well. Give feedback when things go well. When your vendor does well, give some feedback to that. Encourage it and just say, and be open with them and just say, hey, that really was helpful for us. Thank you. You did well. Give feedback. You know what? We generally feedback to a vendor is negative. Generally, it's like you didn't get here on time. You didn't do what we needed. And so there's a lot of negative feedback, but give them the positive feedback. I'm going to share a story, and this has no credit for me in it. I'm actually trying to give credit to our vendor. It was really an awesome experience. I want to share with you, we took on a new piece of business. It was a very large piece of equipment. It was a very large piece of business. We were running two shifts on this machine that we were not familiar with. We brought into our, it was a used piece of equipment brought into our plant, and we were getting familiar with it, and it was for the auto industry. So if you've ever dealt with them, you know it was very, very demanding. And we had a pallet of product that had to ship the next day. And on second shift, this machine broke down. It was new to us. We didn't have a lot of backup parts yet. And what it was this machine wound the seat cover bags, is what they are, contoured bags that fit over car seats. And about 10, 11 o'clock at night on second shift, the little tiny air motor that ran the winder to wind these up on a spool or on a core, these bags wound up on a core, that little tiny air motor failed. And this product had to be shipped the next day to get into a plant, or the entire plant's going to shut down. We live under a lot of pressure with the automotive JIT system. And so that plant was going to shut down, and it's like all kinds of penalties and all that. So I'm giving you the background. Here's what happened. As I went in, I had to go in second shift and found out the problem, tore the thing apart, found out that all we needed was one little tiny component inside this air motor. It was stripped, the gears were stripped in it. We needed this little tiny component. It was from Cooper Tool. I'd never heard of Cooper Tool. How many of you know where Hicksville, Ohio is? Yeah, most of you who do know because you know somebody that moved into our area from there. I had never heard of Hicksville or Cooper Tool, but this Cooper Tool is located at Hicksville, Ohio. It's about a two-hour drive from our plant. At about 1 o'clock in the morning, I knew I had everything identified, and I needed this part as soon as I could get it. And so what I did was I made a phone call to Cooper Tool in the middle of the night, hoping to leave a voicemail that would tell them, I'm in a dire strait, I've got this problem, I need this part, can you get this part for me right away? I will be there when you open to pick it up. That's what I intended to do. You know what happened? Somebody answered the phone. They answered. And so this supervisor at Cooper Tool on second shift picked up the phone, and I said, oh, I was planning to leave a voicemail, but I told him what I needed. And you know what he said? I know the part. We've got it. If you come up here, I'll meet you at a back door in the parking lot and we'll get what you need. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. So I got in my vehicle and drove up there, and I met him at the back door, and he took me through the plant, low lighting, just security lighting. There was nobody in that area, and took me into this assembly room, turned the lights on, walked to a container of the part I needed, picked it up and handed it to me. And I was blown away. And so I said, well, thank you. I'm just so impressed that you are able to do this, you're willing to do this. And he said, oh, by the way, how do I know who you are and how I'm going to get paid? And he said, can I get a copy of your driver's license? So we got a copy, went to the office, got a copy of my driver's license. I'm giving you these details because this is one of our vendors who was doing something so unheard of. And so I took it home, got it back together, and we delivered that pallet on time. I was so overwhelmed by this employee, I said, man, I wish I had a whole plant full of you. We got several like you, but I wish we had a whole plant full of you. Do you want a job? And we joked. But I got to thinking about that, and I thought, his supervisors need to know what he did for us and what that meant. So I looked it up. Cooper Tool, I found the president of Cooper Tool, and I sent him an email. And this is not the end of the story, because I just told him that employee made the right decision, took the risk in the middle of the night, and he got us out and gave him the whole story. And a couple days later, I got an email back. You know what the president of that company said? Thank you. Thanks for sharing that story. Is it okay if I use this story in a business meeting? I said, sure, no problem, if it'll bless you. And he said, well, here's the deal. We just bought Cooper Tool. And there's a little conflict between our company and the Cooper employees, and there's a little conflict going on there. And he said, if I could use this story, I think it can bring our teams together. Now, I'm trying to say this morning, bless your vendors. Bless your vendors. Give them some good feedback. You know what happened out of that? There was a reconciliation between two companies because one employee had the courage in the middle of the night to risk losing his job by giving me the part I needed. That's awesome. That is awesome. That is God. God is at work. I had prayed. I'm just saying God did a work that went far beyond my need to get one pallet out. Give feedback. Don't be a nuisance. Show trust and let them perform. In other words, don't be calling them every other day to see if they're going to meet the date they promised. And you know, we're going to move quickly. Promote them. Share your experience with others. So you've got a good vendor. Share your experience with others. Promote your good vendor. Give testimony even to other people. They need good vendors too. Pay your invoices when you get them. I'll leave the financial people to talk about that. But you don't have to wait 30 days. I know they're giving you 30 days terms and you're going to do. But pay your invoices when you get them. We've got customers like that and we want to be that kind of customer. We want to treat our vendors in a way that we want to be treated. What about with services? Now, I'm talking now services. Oftentimes, this gets left in the dust. We're talking about external relationships to our business. Oftentimes, we view services somehow as kind of, we take advantage of them. They're a dime a dozen. We can choose another one. They're just, treat them like tier one vendors. Now, what I'm talking about is like the cleaning people, the uniform people, the people our uniform people bring the shop rags to. I mean, we're talking about at some level kind of a low-level need that we have that we can meet in more than one way. And we, if we're not careful, we treat those people differently. Don't do that. Treat them like they're tier one. We had our uniform guy with the shop rags. We throw them in a barrel, and it's heavy. And I noticed that he was dragging that barrel through our gravel parking lot to his truck and leaving a trench in the gravel. And you know, I kind of like things to stay the way they are. I like them to look nice. So I went out and took a rake out there and leveled it out. And then next week he did the same thing. And it's like, come on, man. So how do you handle that? Well, he's just handling the shop rag barrel. Just get out there and get on his case and let him know you don't really appreciate what he's doing here. Or, again, I'm just sharing how to have a Christ-like relationship with your vendors, even though they're not the tier one vendor, the most important. So I said to him, hey, I know that barrel's heavy. And when you drag it across the parking lot, you're making a trench in the gravel. But we have a two-wheeler that I think would help you. And I'll be glad to have the guys leave the two-wheeler by the barrel. Oh, okay. Yeah, and we still have a good relationship. I won't tell you about the time he drove through the grass. We'll get to that later. Show your appreciation even for the cleaning service. What would it be like if they didn't show up 1 week or two? Those folks do a service for us that is a real blessing. Let them know how much you appreciate it. Make ready access to the gas service. Well, I didn't say that for the sake of hometown or whoever. But so again, it's a service where they're coming to, we have a gas forklift in one of our plants. The others are electric, but these gas bottles, make ready access for the guy. He's going to pull up here. Don't put him clear across the plant and put him behind pallets and all that stuff. Work with your vendor. Try to treat them well. Treat them like you would like to be treated. Respect the service schedule by being accessible. I'm thinking about forklift schedules and things like that, forklift service. Make your needs known respectfully. Like I was telling, we can either alienate the guy and come over the top of him or come alongside with him and keep relationship as we offer something simple to like a two-wheeler. Think about how you can make their job easier and more pleasant in your environment. Again, I'm thinking about when they come in, like the service guys for the forklift. You can either make them drag all their tools way back in, or you can give them an access by a doorway where there's no traffic there, and they can just come in and open the door, maybe pull their truck in even, or whatever. Make access. Treat them with respect and try to make their job pleasant. Be one of their favorite customers. That's all I'm saying, is treat them well like you'd like to be treated. What about utilities? I'm thinking about the gas, the water, the electric, and I'm especially thinking of electric. We just put new service in one of our plants, and it was quite a deal. Be patient and understanding with outages. There was a while there where it seemed like about every 3 weeks we were losing power. And after a while, that gets a little frustrating. Our whole business park there was getting frustrated, and it was they needed to upgrade the services around there. But be patient and understanding with outages. Recognize, and this is going to be across the board, no matter who it is, we'll get into that in a little bit again, but the person you're dealing with actually didn't make the tariff. The person you're dealing with is coming to do a work for you, but it's not their fault that all of these delays have happened. They're the employee, and they're the person, they're the point of contact where it's very easy for us to kind of tie into them and be understanding and patient when they come to and respectful. Speak respectfully with their representatives. That's what I was saying. Whoever came probably didn't cause the trouble you're having. Be thankful for all the days of reliable service. I don't even think about it day after day after day. But we've had reliable service all these days and all this time, and now we have one outage and we're jumping down their throat. Now I'm revealing my own personality. Pay your bill when it comes. Same thing. Christ-like external business relationships with your competitors. Did you ever think about that? That you actually have a relationship with your competitors? Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we view them as an enemy because they're doing the same thing we're doing and they're trying to take our business. And even worse, they're trying to take our employees. Well, maybe business and employees are about equal, but your competitors. So how do we have a Christ-like relationship with our competitors? Remember that competition does make you better. Competition really is a good thing. Competition is giving services to the community, better service at a better price in good time. That's what competition does. It generates better service for the whole community. Competition is a good thing. So recognize that your competition, you have a relationship with them, and they're competing with you, is actually making you sharper, making you better. You're keeping up with the technology. You're doing the things you need to do. View them then at some level as a partner in the greater scheme and not an enemy. I'll give you another real quick story of what happened to us. We had a piece of business that we did exclusively for one of our customers. We developed the business. We actually built two machines from the ground up to make this product. It's hand soap bags, by the way. If you go into a Subway, if you push the bottom of the Subway soap dispenser, it'll pop open. You'll see one of our bags. Subway all over the nation. It used to be Walmart all over the nation. We do the work for the soap company that supplies those. And this soap company and this business was expanding to the point they recognized we need a second source, which is legitimate. They needed a second source. But what they did was they went to the guy that's producing the collars for them, the collars that we weld into the bags, and he was a vendor to us. So he was providing the collars to us, and we were making the bags. The soap company went to him and said, we think with some automation, you can put those collars into bags and make the bags too. We need a second source. Now, they weren't taking all the business from us. We still have some of it, and he does. But here's what he did. This vendor came into our shop under the guise of just wanting to see his product used in our process. Under the guise of, hey, we're providing a lot of collars to you. I'd like to come over and meet you personally. And I'd like to just kind of see how you're using our collars. Well, he wanted more than that. He actually wanted to see our process and how we did what we did so he could go back and do it himself. And so that competitor, this vendor became a competitor. We still have that relationship today. We still use his collars, and he's still producing bags for our customer, and we share that business. So remember that competitors do make you better, but it's okay to be wise. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and look, we can talk about that later. Show your strengths. Don't badmouth your competitors. Show your strengths. So another thing that we tend to do with competitors, like with a customer, those guys over there, we know all about them. Their quality's no good. Have you ever heard that kind of interaction? Hopefully you haven't had that kind of interaction, but you've heard it. Don't badmouth your competitors. Just show your own strength. If you've got strength, people want to do business with people who have confidence in the strength of what they're doing rather than when I start badmouthing my competitor, everybody knows that just means I'm scared. And so when you have your relationship with your competitors and others about them, don't badmouth them. Show your own strengths. Work with them when they have a need. So we have a competitor that actually has a need, and sometimes our competitors are people that we can work back and forth with. So our competitor has a need. We could supply a need. He's got way too much business, and he can't get it all done, and he's falling behind on his schedule, and could you help us out? And we've done that. We've actually interacted with our competitors as then becoming a vendor to them. And can work both ways. Work with them when they have a need. Send work to them when you can't perform it. When you get into a bind and a position, maybe you even have a product opportunity comes to you, but you can't do that, but you know they could do it and do it well. When we build relationships with our competitors, we can actually have right relationship. I'll just tell you that BK Plastics was in town right around the corner from us. Bob Robbins, Lawrence Crist's son-in-law. Our company is L&C Plastic Bags. It was Lawrence and Clara Crist. Shouldn't maybe use names, but this is the reality. And Bob and Karen Robbins started BK Plastics 30-some years ago, almost 40 years ago. And we did exactly the same thing. We made the same kind of bags they made. And we, for 30 years, had no conflict as we respected each other and worked together. Guess what? Then about 8 years ago, Bob came to me and Wes and said, hey, I'm getting tired. Why don't you buy me out? And we have a good relationship still as we have bought that company as well. Treat your competitors in a godly, respectful, Christ-like way. Show yourself friendly. Christ-like external business relationships with auditors. How many of you deal with auditors? Raise your hand. Auditors come to your company. Not a lot of you. Not a lot of you. We're ISO 9001 2015 registered, and we get audited every year. And I will just real quick tell you that when somebody's coming to audit you, they're looking over your work, they're pouring through your records, and they're trying to see, are you doing? This is really what they're after. What do you say you do? What do you say you do? How do you do your, it's a quality management system. What do you do? How do you do it? And are you doing it? And did you document it? And they're there to pour through all of your records and find out if you're really doing this. And then you get, if you're doing well, you get a good mark, you get a good report, and everything is fine. But if they find that you're not there, they'll give you some opportunities for improvement. Opportunities for improvement. That's a good thing. We love those. Sometimes they give you a non-conformance. That means you said you do this, you're not doing it. Your system broke. It fell down. Non-conformances require a whole lot of stuff, And it means that you got to go back and you got to correct that. You got to change your system so that you make sure this never, ever happens again. So auditors come. There's a little bit of anxiety with auditors. And a little frustration sometimes. Treat them with respect. They're actually your friend. If you have a weakness, you want to know it, right? You want to be able to work with that and improve it and bring it up to speed. I want, real quick though, I'm going to just say, just like with any other relationship, they're a friend, not a foe. Their honest assessment is valuable to your improvement. Thank them for helping you identify your weaknesses. We don't like to have our weaknesses exposed unless we are real with the fact that we have them and we want to overcome them and improve, right? The Bible says that a wise man appreciates rebuke. A wise man is thankful for being corrected because it makes him better still. A fool refuses to be advised. I'm going to tell you real quick about an auditor we had. This was in our registration right up front. And we do have to keep, again, Christ-like responses, Christ-like relationships with these folks that are important to our business. We had an auditor come. He was from Greenville, Ohio, and it's like, wow, we don't have to pay travel. We don't have to pay overnight. We don't have to pay meals. This guy's going to be great. He's from Greenville. He can come every year. That'd be great. Here's what happened. As the audit was going on, and I was coming through the office, he was auditing our office manager. And if you know Jane Fisher, she's not very big, and she's very polite. She is a kind person. She's really, really polite. And her face was red, and she was rattled. And this guy was grilling her unmercifully. And I stopped there, and I listened for a little bit, and I said, "Sir, we appreciate your work here, but you can't treat her that way. I need for you to treat her with respect." And I stayed with her through the rest of that audit. And he never came back. It's okay to recognize when relationships, we need healthy boundaries, and it's okay to hold those and protect your employees. Christ-like relation. How many of you are truck drivers? Not a lot of truck drivers, but I see some truck drivers in here. We love you guys. Thank you for your work. You do a good job, and I know you do it, and you stay out of people's grass and all that stuff. I'm thankful for truck drivers. Recognize the importance of their function. You make the best product on time for a good price, and it's got to get there. And it's got to get there on time and in good shape, right? Real quick, I want to tell you that we had with one of our carriers, they do an excellent job. We love these people. We use them all the time. But we've got a lane up in Wisconsin that they are horrible in. And so every single order we sent up there, they were destroying the boxes, and we were given credits and working through claims, and we had claim after claim. We had three open at once. And it was horrible, and the salesman finally said, "Don't even use us there. Use somebody else." We even set pyramids on top of our pallets. They all said, "Do not double stack." Then we set pyramids on the top of them that said, "Do not double stack," and they were orange, and they would crush them when they put the next pallet, stack the pallet. I don't get it. Can you hear my frustration? How do we deal with those situations? How do we have a Christ-like? What about that truck driver that pulls into your dock and he's bringing damaged product back or damaged product coming in? You know, 90% of the time he didn't do that. He's just the company representative that's delivering this damaged product, and we have to take pictures, and he has to sign it and start a claim and all that stuff. But treat them with respect. Remember, they likely didn't do the damage. Sometimes, though, they do. This, 8 years ago, when we bought BK Plastics, we did some work outside, and long story short, because time is up. Okay. I wasn't even supposed to tell you when time was up. So, real quick, I want you to look at this picture. What does that look like? It is semi-tracks through fresh grass. This is newly seeded grass. This truck driver tried to turn his entire 53-foot rig around in this little tiny circle driveway that's meant for the office. It's for car traffic, okay? And he had to run his tractor through that grass, and if you look close, you can see his trailer went through the other grass. It's like, what in the world? I mean, I could tell you a whole bunch. We had 8 incidents with this grass. How you respond, do you hear my frustration? How you respond at that moment with that driver is very, very important. Christ-like relationships with salesmen. I have some stories there I'm not going to tell you. Look at what... there are some with your neighbors, with other businesses, if you're in a business park, with the trees we put up between us and the residential. The community, be involved in your community. You're an integral part of your community. What about the government? Comply with their rules and regulations and zoning and all of that. What about your church congregation? This is a picture of Sugar Grove's camp out, our congregation. Did you know that how you do business is impacting them? Did you know that? Oh, you're one of them, and that's how you... I bet the rest of them do the same thing, or the other way. What about your grandchildren? This is our grandchildren. And what about them? Did you know that Psalm 78 says that in my grandchildren, in your grandchildren, if you have them, your children are 2 unborn generations that are going to be impacted by the decisions you make, even in business. What about the poor and the needy? How involved does your business get in the poor and the needy? I'm going to close with Colossians 4, verses 5 to 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Thank you.